No one has anything else to do on Erev Yom Kippur? Okay. Your sukkahs are built. Okay, this is the third installment of our series on Tshuva Insights from Rav Soloveitchik. And the truth is, in many ways, for those who are here for the last two, I think the Rav is so deep and so profound and gets it so much in terms of the process of Tshuva and what it takes to be a Baal Tshuva. But I think this one is going to resonate with many of us in a very unique way. Because I think the Rav speaks to something that is so true to the life experience of so many people. And as much as we would like to imagine that we could live lives that are free of sin, and those things that we did wrong along the way, we'd like to just erase and make them disappear. Rav Soloveitchik says, a person who understands the process of becoming a person, of finding oneself, of developing oneself, of making mistakes and learning from one's mistakes, Rav Soloveitchik says, a person who's willing to hold on to the past, that could sometimes be so embarrassing, a person who's brave enough to do such a thing can reach unbelievable heights. And that's really the greatness of the Baal Tshuva that we're going to develop tonight. So let's begin with a famous passage from the Rambam, in the Rambam's Hilchos Tshuva, in the seventh parak in source number one. The Rambam says, G'dolei Tshuva, greatest Tshuva. The Gemara, at the end of Maseches Yoma, has a whole list of G'dolei Tshuvas. Tshuva is great because dot, dot, dot. Tshuva is great, it brings health. Tshuva is great, it brings geula. Tshuva is great, fill in the blank. Tshuva is unbelievably great. Says the Rambam, G'dolei Tshuva, Tshuva is great, shemekareves es ha'adam l'shechina. Because it brings a person close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shenemar Shuva Yisrael ad Hashem Elokecha. Tshuva could bring you all the way from wherever you are, no matter how low you've fallen, it could bring you literally ad, all the way up. Gemara has a question, up to and including, up to and not including, but either way, you're right up against Hashem Elokecha. Says the Rambam in the third line, HaTshuva Mikareves Es Rachokim. Tshuva has a power to bring close those who are far away. And listen to these are the famous words of the Rambam, which we'll come back to if Soloveitchik has his take on it. But just by way of understanding the transformative nature of Tshuva, says the Rambam, Emesh Hayezeh Sonoi Lefnei HaMakom. Just yesterday, this individual was despised by his creator. Mishukatz, repulsive, umeruchak, and distanced, v'to'eva, and abominable. V'hayom, and one day later, after a little bit of tshuva, a little bit of sincere, returning to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that person who was what? Who was sanoi, who was hated, who was mishukatz, who was meruchak, who was a to'eva, all of a sudden this person is ahuv, v'nechmad, karov, v'yadid. Unbelievably beautiful language. He's beloved, he's desirable, he's close, he's befriended the creator of the world. In the same way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as necessary, drives away the sinners, to the same degree that a person who, God forbid, strays can be pushed away, and sometimes a person who does averos feels very far away, and that's because Hashem is pushing away. But in the same way that a person who wants to come back, Hashem says, grab my hand, I'll pull you in. Ata nosin, as we'll say in the davening on Yom Kippur, ata nosin yad l'poshim. You extend the hand, Hashem, to the sinners, inviting them to return. If you want to come back, HaKadosh Baruch Hu reaches out to you. Ohayu b'makom b'shar yomar lehem lo ami atem, quoting the pasuk in Hosea, the same way that Hashem says at times, you're not my people, I've abandoned you, yomar lehem b'nei kelchai. Hashem says to us at the same time, you want to come back, you're my beloved child. And Hashem invites us in. And that's the transformative, nature of tshuva. But the challenge of being about tshuva, and I want to just point out that being about tshuva is not a bad thing. That's something we should all be striving for. I may have mentioned the story in the past. One time the Beis Yisrael, the Ger Rebbe, was walking in the streets of Yerushalayim. And he bumped into a fellow and he started talking to him and he asked him, you know, what are you up to? He says, oh, I'm learning in such and such a yeshiva, but I'm not about tshuva. The Baal Tshuva yeshiva, I'm not about tshuva. So the Ger Rebbe said to him, why not? Why aren't you about tshuva? We should all be Baal Tshuva. Every Jew should want to be about tshuva, whatever level you're on. Tshuva is the tachlis of the whole universe, to come back to Hashem, to be closer than where you are to Hashem. But the challenge, of course, of tshuva is sometimes facing the facts. I gave a shiur in YU earlier today, and I quoted the words of the Sefer HaChinuch, in Mitzvah Shin Samach Dalet, where he talks about the Mitzvah of Vidui in tshuva. And the Sefer HaChinuch says, why does Hashem want us to enunciate our sins? Why can't I just think about my sins? Why can't I just know what I did wrong? Think about it, meditate upon it, carry it in my heart. Isn't that enough? And the Sefer HaChinuch says, when you say it, when you bring yourself to utter the words, it's a different experience. When you confess, when you admit to it, when you're able to say, Hashem, I know that you really know what I did. And I'm not going to pretend, I'm not going to have this dissonance in my soul to not fully admit to what I know I did. To be able to utter those words is sometimes one of the most painful things. Even to just say it to yourself is sometimes one of the hardest things in the world. And Rav Soloveitchik describes, again, that fear, that feeling of unworthiness that a Baal Tshuva has. Take a look at source number 2. These are the words of the Rav. Again, this is from the English edition of Ala Tshuva on Repentance, page 239. The feeling of acknowledging sin is one of self-degradation and abnegation. If you want to really admit to your averos, not where you're just, you know, mumbling through, but if you're really thinking about the words, and you're actually talking to Hashem, and you're actually confessing what you did, it's a very, very uncomfortable feeling. It's one of self-degradation and abnegation, says the Rav. Of who am I, and what makes me worthy of coming before God and seeking His nearness? You have to crush yourself, to break yourself down in order to build yourself back up. Acknowledgement of sin gives expression to everything that is tragic in man's predicament, as he realizes that his life has reached a dead end, and that his very existence is meaningless and empty. Now the Rav, being the great, you know, poetic person that he was, in his own way, and being the philosopher that he was, right, he paints the picture, again, of a person who's reached a point of complete despair. And in a certain sense, Rav Soloveitchik is saying, that's what real tshuva looks like. Where it really bothers you. I'm not showing up because, you know, it's the right thing to do this time of the year. You come to shul, Hashamnu Bagadnu. But I'm showing up because I really feel that I've ruined my life. And I feel that I'm at the point of a dead end, as he says. That my existence is meaningless and empty. On all sides, he is engulfed by Kohelis' plaintive cry. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. It's pretty heavy. But that's the feeling of the Baal Tshuva. And in the midst of this nothingness, man feels that he is loathsome. He's an outcast. He's an abomination. Again, these are the words that we saw in the Rambam. The horror of this condition brings utter despair, an overbearing sense of guilt, and a feeling of worthlessness. That's one side of the coin of the Baal Tshuva. Rav Soloveitchik says there's another side of the coin of the Baal Tshuva. Let me just mention, I'm going to share a few things tonight that don't come from the words of the Rav directly, but I think they add to his presentation and it deepens the idea. There's an amazing comment that the Chafetz Chaim has in almost, what we would call almost, I guess, the footnotes of the Mishnah Berurah. The Chafetz Chaim wrote the Mishnah Berurah, and it's written in three different sections. There's the Mishnah Berurah, that's the primary text explaining the Shulchan Aruch. Then there's the Bir Halacha, longer explanations of some of the background to those halachic positions. And sometimes other things that are related to stringencies and things of that nature. And then there's the Shar HaTzion at the bottom of the page. All three commentaries written by the Chafetz Chaim. The Shar HaTzion of the Chafetz Chaim usually just gives you the sources. And he says, what you read in my Mishnah Berurah at the top of the page is found in the following sefer. It's found in the Magen Avraham, it's found in the Taz, it's found in the Maimer Mordechai, it's found in the Chai Adam. He gives you the sources. Once in a while, the Chafetz Chaim will have almost an addendum, a footnote, in the Shar HaTzion. In the writings by Yom Kippur, when the halacha talks about the halachas of Yom Kippur, and the halacha says that at Mincha time in Yom Kippur we read the book of Yonah, and the Mishnah Berurah explains why is it that we read the book of Yonah. And one of the famous reasons that's given is that it's a reminder that man can't escape from God. The same way that Yonah is trying to run until he has to face his Creator, so too every man on Yom Kippur, every person on Yom Kippur, has to face HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, that's a classic answer that some give. But in the footnote, in the Shaar Tzion, on that passage in the Mishnah Berurah, the Chafetz Chaim says such a beautiful thing. He says there's another lesson in the story of Yonah. Because Yonah, so many points in the story, it looks like game over for Yonah. So many times it looks like Yonah's not going to make it. And yet Yonah comes around and somehow he survives and he comes back. He's thrown overboard, he's swallowed up by the fish, so he's spit out on the land and he's running from God and it looks like he's going to die. And Yonah's going through so many upheavals as he's running and as his life is being overturned so many times. And yet at the end of the day, somehow things work out. Somehow things work out. And Yonah learned a lot from his experience of running around. And therefore says the Chafetz Chaim, and I'm sorry I don't have the words in front of you, or in front of me even, to share them with you in his own words, but essentially the Chafetz Chaim says, the story of Yonah teaches a Jew, as we come to the back nine, so to speak, those final turns of Yom Kippur, as we're finishing up Mincha and heading to Ne'ilah, we're reminding ourselves, never give up. There's going to be times when it looks like it's all over, but guess what? After you get thrown overboard, maybe a big fish will swallow you up and protect you inside. As the Medrash in Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer describes the life of Yonah living inside that fish. A Jew never gives up, and that's what the story of Yonah is telling us on Yom Kippur. such a critical moment, a Jew is being told over and over again, don't give up. When it looks like it's all over, and when the Baal Tshuva feels, like the Rav is describing here, that all is lost, and he's the lowest of the low, a loathsome and outcast and abomination. And yet Tshuva says, nonetheless, I'm going to come back. And that's the second half of this paragraph on the right side of the page. This is one of the basic components of repentance process. Yes, part one, we feel like a nobody. We feel like everything is lost. But there's another one which is antithetical to the first, yet is an integral part of the very same process. And whoever fails to achieve it cannot become a full penitent. And that is what? This element is faith in the creator of the universe and in man's spiritual potential. To believe in oneself. It's a very strange paradox. The fact that I want to do tshuva means that I think I can become something. And yet in order to begin that process of tshuva, I have to feel like a nobody. If I want to really feel that I've been shattered by my sins. And the Rav says, yes, both parts are integral components of tshuva. To believe that Hashem believes in you. I heard someone say this week, who is the greatest ma'amin in the world? Who's the greatest believer in the world? Right? Who believes more than anyone else? And the answer is Hashem himself. He believes in us. We say it every morning. Moda ani lefanecha. I wake up in the morning and I say, Rabba emunasecha. Rabba emunasecha, the Sifrei Chassidus explained, doesn't just mean that Hashem, you're faithful, you're loyal, you keep your word. But Rabba emunasecha, great is your belief in what? In us. So when a person comes to do tshuva, he has to believe in his own spiritual potential, says the Rav. He has to believe in the faith of the Creator, namely Hashem's faith in him. This belief says that despite the fact that man may become an abomination and a loathsome being, he still has the capacity to uplift himself and escape from the cage of his despair. Listen to the beautiful words of Rav Soloveitchik. Maimonides emphasizes this point time and time again. The option is open to man. It is up to him to choose what great powers have been granted man. You ever wonder why the Rambam, all of a sudden, right smack in the middle of Hilchos Tshuva, has a long digression about man's free will? B'chira chofshis, man's ability to choose. I think based on what Rav Soloveitchik is explaining, it's very clear. Because tshuva requires the person to make the ultimate choice. To believe that what? That I can choose to be great. I could also choose to destroy my life if I'm not paying close attention to what Hashem wants from me. But it's that power to choose, that power at any given point, even in the lowest place for a man to choose, I want to try again. I'd like to take another run at it. And Hashem believes in you, and you believe in your own spiritual potential, and all of a sudden, it becomes a possibility. Maybe we could try again. Maybe this year, Tavshin Ayin Ches, can be a lot better than this past year of Tavshin Ayin Zayin. Many Sfarim point out that the Koach of Tzibor is a very unique thing. The power of community, the ability to daven with Tzibor, and how that elevates our tefillos. And yes, the Gemara says this time of the year during the Aseret Yemei Tshuva, even a yachid, even an individual can come to Hashem, and you talk to Hashem, and Hashem listens to everyone. But we know that the power of a tzibor is a very powerful thing. The Sfarim say that the word tzibor is made up of a tzibor. Tzadi stands for tzadikim, the bey stands for beinonim, those who are somewhere in the middle, and the resh stands for rishon. And any good tzibor is going to have a mix of people working together to try to help each other. There's things that Rishon can offer Tzadikim, there's things that Tzadikim can offer Rishon, and Beinonim can offer both. It's very interesting. Where do we see that amongst the Tzibor, even the Rasha can be lifted up? How do we begin? How do we begin Yom HaKippurim? Kol Nidre, we ask, right, permission that even the Avaryanim should be allowed to join the Tzibor. Even those who have been excommunicated are invited back in. Why do I need the Rishon? Because when the Rasha becomes part of the Tzibor, the whole Tzibor gets enhanced. Where do we see such a concept? The Ketores. The Ketores was made up of numerous spices. One of the spices was a very foul-smelling spice called Chelbana. Ches lamed beis nun hei, Chelbana. Chelbana is the worst-smelling spice. And yet, when it's part of the Tzibor, when it's mixed in with the other spices, all of a sudden, not only does it not emit a smell, foul smell, but it actually elevates the entire smell of the Ketores. There's a Rav in Eretz Yisrael, his name's from Shrua, Brazil. He has a yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. He used to be in Far Rockaway. He has a sefer, and he writes in his sefer a very interesting thing. He says, Chelbana, that foul-smelling spice, which again becomes elevated as part of the tzibor, gets totally transformed. He brings a very interesting, he has a lot of ramazim, a lot of gematria, has a lot of interesting hints, Torah hints in his sefer. Sefer called Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam. So he says that the word Chelbana, and it's really what the Rav is describing here. The Jew who feels like, I'm the stinkiest Jew in the world. I'm the lowest, lowly, outcast, abominable Jew in the world. Overwhelmed by my guilt and despair. And yet I still have to say that I have spiritual potential. And Hashem chose me. And therefore I choose tshuva and I choose Hashem. Hashem believes in me. So he says, Chelbana is Rashi Tevos, what a person has to say about himself. What the Gemara and the Mishnah in Sanhedrin says that a person has to say about himself. Which is what? A person has to say, Chayav Lomar Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam. Chelbana is Rashi Tevos, Chayav Lomar, a person is obligated to say, Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam. Because even that loathsome Jew, even that Jew who's disappointed himself and disappointed HaKadosh Baruch Hu over and over again, has to say, you know what, we're going to try again. Because the world was created for me. And I'm a whole world. I'm an Olam Katan. I'm a spiritual universe. And I'm going to try again. And it's something that's very hard to understand. How we could believe in ourselves and how we could believe that Hashem believes in us. But the truth of the matter is, Hashem does believe in us. Rav Soloveitchik quotes a Yerushalmi in source number 3. The Talmud Yerushalmi in Maseches Makos is wondering about the possibility of tshuva. And the Talmud Yerushalmi tells us, Sha'alu l'chachma. Chachma. Wisdom. Supernal wisdom was asked. Chote mahu onsho. What's going to be with the sinner? And what does Chachma say? A sinner? Destroy the sinner. That's it. Chachma can't imagine. Wisdom, logic, rational thought can't imagine the possibility of tshuva. Sha'alu l'nevuah. They asked the nevuah, what's going to be with the sinner? Nevuah, pasuk in Yechezkel, no good, destroy him. He doesn't deserve to live. No one was able to be malamid tzchus on basar v'dam, on a human being, except for Hashem himself, where it's bolded. Sha'alu l'kutshabrichu. God himself was asked, what's going to be with the sinner? What should his punishment be? And Hashem says, punishment? Who wants to punish? Amr lahen, yasu tshuva v'yischapu. Let him do tshuva, and he could be cleansed. He could start again. Hainu dechsiv al kein yore chataim b'derech, yore lechataim derech lasos tshuva. What does it mean? Hashem sets a path, it teaches a path? Yes, Hashem teaches a path for the Baal Shuvah to return. So when everyone else gives up, and no one seems to be able to save the man, to save a person of flesh and blood, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I believe in the possibility of a person doing tshuva. It's interesting. David HaMelech says, Me'ayin Yavo Ezri. And I think it really captures again this duality that Rav Soloveitchik is describing. As far as I'm saying, Me'ayin Yavo Ezri. What does ayin mean? On the one hand, ayin means what the Rav described here as self-degradation and abnegation. Ayin, nothingness. Bittel, completely destroyed. And yet, when a man is able to say, when a person is able to say that I am ayin, I've reached a point of rock bottom, there's nothing left in me, then all of a sudden, from that self-negation, me ayin, yavo ezri, comes the salvation. And what is the salvation? Me ayin, yavo ezri. What's ayin? Ayin also means the ein sof, the one who can't be limited. Ein, Hashem is referred to as Ein, that which is not easily described, that which is not limited in any way. So through that self-negation of feeling like an Ein, feeling like a nothing, I tap into the, again, the supernal Ein, the Ein Sof of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Hashem says, I'm willing to give the one who Nevuah has given up on and Chochmah has given up on. Hashem says, I'm not ready to give up on this individual. And now we come to the Gemara that's really going to be the centerpiece of what Rav Soloveitchik is going to explain. There's a Gemara in Maseches Yoma, Pei Vav Amud Beis. Source number 4. Amar Reish Lakish. Amar Reish Lakish. And Rav Soloveitchik said, coming off of this Yerushalmi, where it says that Hashem is Yora, Hashem gives a path, Yora Chataim Baderech, Hashem guides Risham on a path. Rav Soloveitchik says, the truth is there's many paths in Tshuva. And he's about to describe two of them. Amar Reish Lakish. Gidol L'Tshuva Shezidonos Nasis Lo Kishkagos. How great is Tshuva? Tshuva is so great that the things you did on purpose, when you do Tshuva, Hashem will lower it to the level of Shogeg, an accident. What you did, premeditated sins, willful intent, evil inclinations, you gave in 100%, you knew what you were doing, and yet Hashem says, you do tshuva, I'll lower it down as if it was just a bad mistake. Shenamar, shuva Yisrael ad Hashem Elokecha, ki chashalta ba'avonecha. Chashalta means you stumbled. Avonecha means on purpose. So Hashem's going to take that which you did on purpose and make it as if you just stumbled. Okay. Says the Gemara at the end of the second line, Ini, is it so? Va'amar Reish Lakish, didn't the same Reish Lakish tell us that tshuva is so great, gedol tshuva shezidonos nasis lo kizchuyos, that averos can be turned into mitzvos? Let me say that again. That averos can be turned, that our mistakes can become a source of merit. Answers the Gemara, last line, lo kasha, kan me'ava, kan me'ira. If I do tshuva out of fear, then my averos get knocked down a notch. From willful sins, mazed, to shogig, to accidents. If I do tshuva out of ahava, out of love, then my averos become mitzvos. My averos become a zchus, become a merit. And Rav Soloveitchik says, this is one of the most perplexing gemaras in the world. How could it be? A simple question, says the Rav. In the language of the Talmud, chote nisgar, can the sinner benefit from his sins? That the person who did big averos, now he's going to turn them into big mitzvos. How can such a thing be? Rav Soloveitchik says, it's enough for Hashem, it's more than enough for Hashem to remove your sins from the record. But to turn it into a bonus? Now all of a sudden my averos become a source of pride? Well, why does the Baal Tshuva deserve that? Why does the person who did all these averos deserve to be able to transform his averos into mitzvahs? And even more simply, just to understand the Gemara, what does it mean tshuva meyira? And what does it mean tshuva me'ava? Right? I mean, if I did tshuva, shouldn't that be enough? What do you mean, there's different types of tshuva? How does that work? So Soloveitchik said as follows. A Baal Tshuva has a very major concern when he looks back, or she looks back, at the last 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. Rav Soloveitchik says sometimes you can have a person who's about tshuva 50 years old, 60 years old. And the question is, Rav Soloveitchik says, that the Baal Tshuva is wondering about, how do I deal with the last 5, 10, 15 years of my life, which I really wish I never would have made those choices? What do? I just scratch them from the record? I pretend it never happened? I erase those years of life? That's life. It's not so easy to just erase years of life. The Rav says, people who go to jail like to forget about their experience in jail, as if it never happened. Life goes on. I don't want to think about those 2 years I spent in jail. And he brings a proof. Right? He brings a proof, not from the modern day penitentiary system, but he brings a proof from Chumash. What happened when Yosef HaTzadik's buddies, his good friends, who he saved, who he helped, what happens when they leave jail? I'll read you the pasuk, you don't have it in front of you. V'lo zachar sar amashkim es Yosef, v'yishkacheyu. Not only did he not remember him, he forgot him. He willfully forgot him. Because I don't want to remember that part of my life. I don't want to think back about those years that I was in jail. But the Rav says that there's a problem. Because to erase years of life is also not so simple. That's very costly. To be able to say, a 50-year-old person, to say half my life was nothing, two-thirds of my life was nothing, a quarter of my life was nothing, that's a big deal. And to erase years of one's life, to have those memories erased as if they never were, Rav Soloveitchik says, to ask a person to do such a thing is also very difficult. And because of this problem of erasing one's past, the Rav says there were many philosophers who didn't believe that tshuva is possible. What's done is done. Time marches on. I can't go back and rewrite the past. I can turn my back on it. I can try to close my eyes. But the reality is, what's done is done. It's left its stain on time. And there's nothing I could do to erase that. And Rav Soloveitchik said, that's what some philosophers believed. That's what a nice Jewish philosopher named Spinoza believed. That's what Nietzsche believed. He said there were philosophers who believed you can't undo what's been done. Rav Soloveitchik says, a person who's a Baal Tshuva might say, I want to start fresh. And he quotes the Rambam who says that the Baal Tshuva might take on a new name. Right? The Baal Tshuva wants to change his reputation. He doesn't want to be associated with the person that he once was. But the Rav says it comes at a tremendous cost. Because what happens to his old friends? What happens to his family members who don't want to be a Baal Tshuva? All of a sudden, they don't exist anymore. His parents, his children, his siblings, his neighbors, all these people are gone. It's very hard to understand the mix of emotions that a Baal Tshuva has inside himself or herself. And the Rav points out, yes, we have a model for the one who leaves home and never turns back. And of course, that's Avram Avinu. Lech lecha, me'artzecha, u'miladecha, mi'beis avicha, ela'artz asherecha. You're starting over, Avram. You're severing your ties with Terach. You're severing your ties with your birthplace and the land that you grew up and all the people you once knew. Avram, the Rambam says, was once an Oved Avodah Zarah. The Rambam says so explicitly in Hilchos Avodah Zarah. In Aleph Gimel, the Rambam says that Avram Avinu also, once upon a time, served Avodah Zarah. So Hashem says, Avram, lech lecha me'artzecha, start fresh. But again, Rav Soloveitchik says it's not so simple. And it comes at a tremendous cost. There are people who do it. It has a place within tshuva, but says the Rav, it's a very difficult decision to sever one's ties with one's past and really with oneself. With years of my own life stricken from the record. Let's go back to that Rambam in source number one. Rav Soloveitchik has a very interesting diuk. I think he has a nice, he identifies a very nice read in a couple of the words. Again, how does the Rambam describe the sinner who's described as so repulsive and abominable? And how does he describe the one who's chosen the good path and is now ahuv and nechmar and karov and yedid? The sinner is described, emesh, yesterday, as a sinner, hayozeh sanoi, zeh, this one. Almost like he's not even like a person, like zeh, he's a zeh. Once he's chozer b'tshuva v'hayom, who? Oh, he, now we can identify him. Right? Zeh is like, he's like this person who's, you know, not clearly identified. The way that some people refer to, the founder of the Christian religion, right? Oso ha'ish, that man, right? Zeh, this one, this person. Right, not to even give him like a formal identity. So the zeh of my past, and I don't even know who that person is. I can't identify him. He has nothing to do with me. You want to know who I am? Oh, who? He? This person you can point the finger to, right? That you can identify. Oh, he is ahuv and nechmad, and he's karuv and he's yedid, close to Hashem. He's connected. So yes, some people try to forge a new path in life and forget everything of their past. And Rav Soloveitchik says this has a place. This has a place amongst the tshuva experience. Let's read together in source number 5. The question whether repentance implies continuity or severance, whether it sustains the past or utterly nullifies it, depends upon the nature of the tshuva. There is tshuva which does allow for continuity and which accords recognition of the past, we haven't explained yet, and there's also repentance whose goal is the utter annihilation of the evil in the soul of man. Certain situations leave no choice but for the annihilation of evil and for completely uprooting it, namely to destroy my wicked past. If one takes pity and lets evil remain, this is what the Rav says here, one eventually is going to pay for it with an awesome price, sometimes of 6 million or 10 million victims. Meaning, if you allow the Nazis to flourish, if you allow a Malik to take charge, right, then you're going to pay for it in a different way. So yes, sometimes a person has to identify something as evil and destroy it, obliterate it, completely annihilate it. Says Rav Soloveitchik, however, right, continuing on the right hand side, repentance of the individual can also be of the kind that requires a clean break. So yes, sometimes the same way you need to destroy something in the world because it's just plain old evil, there might be parts of ourselves that have to be destroyed, parts of our past that need to be forgotten. Again, says the Rav, repentance of the individual can also be of the kind that requires a clean break, with all of man's sins and evil deeds falling away into an abyss, fulfilling the prophecy, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Tashlich, throw it away. Not only are their sins cast into the depths of the sea, listen to this, but also all the years of sin, 10 or 20 or even 30 years of a sinner's life, it's all thrown away. It is impossible to sift out only the sins and leave the years intact. So yes, that is one way in tshuva. And even such a level of tshuva is an unbelievable thing. Again, the philosophers didn't believe you could do such a thing. Nietzsche didn't believe it. Kant didn't believe it. Spinoza didn't believe it. You can't just erase the past and pretend it doesn't exist. Remember when I was younger, I saw a movie. There was a movie where, you know, people wanted to erase their memories. So they went. There was a company and you go and, you know, and they put this special, you know, hat on your head when you're sleeping and they erase. You know the movie? They erase your memories, right? Okay, but that's science fiction. You can't erase the past. These are years of your life. You can't pretend that it never happened. So Rav Soloveitchik says, yes, there is such a level of tshuva that can do such a thing. Unlike the great philosophers who say it's impossible, Judaism says, yes, you can erase the past. But then Rav Soloveitchik says there's a second level in tshuva. And this is the part that resonates so deeply with me. Rav Soloveitchik says there's another way to do tshuva, where you don't have to break the past, and you don't have to pretend that it never was, but you find a way to what? To elevate the past. To become greater today because of that broken past. Rav Soloveitchik says, in Parsha Shoftim, the Torah says you go out to war, and you're fighting against enemies, be careful when you're fighting enemies not to chop down a fruit-bearing tree. So Rav Soloveitchik says, if the Torah wants you, when destroying evil, to be careful not to kill a little tree, an apple tree, you can imagine that when the Torah wants you to fight your averos, it doesn't want you to destroy years and years and years of your life. So how do you do that? How does a person take the averos and elevate those averos into mitzvos? And that's really the secret of the Gemara. Rav Soloveitchik says, when your averos become mitzvos, it's not that your averos all of a sudden are now on your scorecard of mitzvos, but it's that the negative experience has become a springboard to allow me to accomplish so much more. I've learned so much from my experience. Right? It's not that it becomes bonus points. It doesn't make sense, says the Rav, that averos become mitzvos. But the depth of understanding that I took from my mistakes allows me to accomplish so much more and be better than I ever could have been had I not made those mistakes along the way. Says the Rav in source number 6. The intensity of sin and the sense of guilt and shame that overwhelms man in its wake are such strong drives, meaning the averus I did, the embarrassment I feel, the desire to be better, motivates a person to such a degree that they impel the penitent upward and outward in the direction of the creator of the universe. I'm running so fast away from my averus, but where am I running to? I'm running with full strength back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The years of sin are transformed into powerful, impulsive forces which propel the sinner towards God. That all those averus, they push me forward. I use that as fuel to energize myself to return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sin is not to be forgotten, blotted out, or cast into the depths of the sea. On the contrary, sin has to be remembered. It is the memory of sin that releases the power within the inner depths of the soul of the penitent to do greater things than ever before. The energy of sin can be used to bring one to new heights. And now we come back to, again, the one who said those two statements in the Gemara and Yom. Who was the one who told us tshuva is so great that it could turn willful sins into a shogeg? And who was the one who similarly said that averos can be transformed into mitzvos? Was none other than Reish Lakish. What's the story of Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish? Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish was a great thief, was a great robber. He was the head of the robbers. It's interesting, and this I didn't know until I read this essay from Rav Soloveitchik. Tosfos HaMaseches Bava Metzia, Pei Dalet Amud Aleph, says that before Reish Lakish became a thief, he was a Talmud Chacham. I always imagine that Reish Lakish grew up, you know, never had a religious upbringing, and then in that famous scene where he jumps into the water and he sees Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yochanan's Bekari of him and says, you can marry my sister if you, you know, use your strength for Torah. Then he became from. He was always off the derech and then he became from. It's not true. Rabbeinu Tam says, in Tosfos, but Messiah paid Dalit, that Reish Lakish was the Talmud Chacham. He ran into some issues along the way. He threw it all away, threw off his yarmulke, put away his tefillin, said, I'm done with this. Became an unbelievable robber, thief, bandit, ambushing people down by the road. And then he was Chozer B'Tshuva. And Rav Soloveitchik says, it's the second Reish Lakish. It's the second Reish Lakish. The Reish Lakish after all the averos, who became the Reish Lakish, who was the best friend of Rabbi Yochanan, who became the Reish Lakish, who taught us how great Tshuva can be. It's learning from those mistakes. You know who else had a similar life? Rabbi Akiva. Right? My father pointed this out to me. Most people don't realize. Everyone thinks Rabbi Akiva, for the first 40 years, nothing happened. Never had an opportunity to learn. There's a Medrash by Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer. In Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, it says that Rabbi Akiva went to yeshiva when he was a kid. And it didn't work. So he left. And then all those years later, he came back. Rabbi Akiva, what does the Gemara say about Rabbi Akiva? Rav Soloveitchik had the following insight. The truth is, I first saw this insight in a Hasidic work called Or LaShamayim, Rav Meir of Apt. But then I saw, it's not in Ala Tshuva, I think in the five drushos of Rav Soloveitchik. In the drushos of the Rav, in those famous five drushos, he says this exact same thing as Rav Meir of Apt in the Or LaShamayim. What does it say about Rabbi Akiva's Torah? Rabbi Akiva was such a genius that he was able to darshan tile tilin halachos from the kotzim shel Torah. That from the crowns on top of the letters, Rabbi Akiva was able to what? To extract unbelievable insights. Right? The crowns of the letters, it's not even verbal communication, you can't even read the words. In a Sefer Torah, the little crowns, the points on top of the letter, Rabbi Akiva was able to learn so much from them. We don't know what halacha, but it says he mountains and mountains of halachos emerged from those crowns. Such a depth of Torah understanding. But Rav Soloveitchik said, you know what it means? It says those crowns are referred to, again in that line in the Gemara, as kotzim, as thorns. Rabbi Akiva had a thorny life. Rabbi Akiva had a lot of struggles along the way. And Rabbi Akiva darshan, he learned out from all of his struggles, mountains and mountains of halachos, of halichos, of pathways, of ways to serve the Creator. That's Reish Lakish, that's the story of Rabbi Akiva, and Rav Soloveitchik says that's what a real Baal Tshuva is about. The real Baal Tshuva doesn't say, my past is a terrible mistake and just forget it forever. That is, yes, it has a place. Avraham Avinu needed to sever his ties with Terach in order to move forward. And sometimes you got to destroy the Amalek. And you have to destroy the Amalek inside of yourself. And maybe parts of your life or Amalek have to be destroyed. But a more profound level of tshuva, what the Rav is going to define as tshuva me'ava, is a Jew says, I'm going to learn from my mistakes. And I'm going to use it to make myself greater. In source number 7, the penitent who does not wipe out the past, nor tear the pages of sin from his memory, but rather makes a point to use the memory of his sins to enhance his longing for holiness that are bursting forth from inside of him. Such a person achieves the quality of repentance which elevates evil to a state of goodness, that my averos become mitzvos, that my mistakes became learning opportunities. With regard to such a Baal Tshuva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, Hashem does not overlook transgression, but rather Hashem bears the sin and the transgression. It is as if He lifts up and elevates sin and transgression to unimaginable heights. All of a sudden, all of those averos again become something that He's proud of. You become Reish Lakish. You become the best friend of Rabbi Yochanan. Again, it's an unbelievable paradox. How could the Baal Teshuva reach such heights from such terrible mistakes? And we may not fully understand the answer, but Hashem says those are the facts. That's the halacha in tshuva. Tshuva me'ava, tshuva where I'm not looking to destroy my past, but to learn from it. Such a tshuva becomes a schus. Hashem says, you took something from it. Those years don't have to be stricken from the record, but you're able to grow from that mistake. And again, only HaKadosh Baruch Hu can understand such a thing. Says the Rav towards the end of the essay in source number 8, you may ask, how is it possible for one who has repented to get near and ascend higher than he was before he sinned? Again, the Rav's opening question, how can he get a bonus? How can the sinner benefit? Rav Soloveitchik says, how is it possible for sins to act as a dynamic force leading to holiness? Is it not written, who can purify the unclean? No one. God alone knows the answer to this mystery. Again, we look back at certain moments in our life, and we don't know why it happened. At the time, I thought I made a choice. And looking back, I feel like it was a bad choice. And yet Hashem says, somehow, in some crazy way, if you keep trying your best, Hashem says, I'll find a way to make that part of your story. It doesn't have to be erased. I'm going to look back at that experience that you had in the past, and somehow we're going to incorporate it into your story, and it's going to make you a better person, a more profound person. That those bad choices are going to make you a greater person because you'll have a deeper understanding of how the world is run. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu put you there for a reason. Again, at the time, I have to try to choose good. But looking back, says the Rav, you don't have to raise 10, 20 years. You don't have to say, I'm who, and that was that. That was Oso Ish, I don't know that man. I never met that person. Because sometimes, again, you lose too many friends and family along the way. Rav Soloveitchik says it's a mystery. The master of the universe, the creator of all, He is the one who made it possible to purify the unclean. And perhaps the idea of uplifting evil belongs in the same category. To elevate one's sins. To turn the averos, mamish, into mitzvahs. So I conclude with the final paragraph. Again, directly from the words of the Rav. And I know we read a lot inside tonight in the words of the Rav. Rav Soloveitchik says as follows. On the Day of Atonement, we are not bidden to tear out pages from the Book of Life or from the history of man. You come to Yom Kippur. And you're standing there and you're thinking, you know, there's parts of myself, parts of Tav Shanai and Zion, still trying to kick off the year in the right way, and there's parts of the last year that I want to pretend they never happened. I want them to be attributed as a bad mistake, a mikshol, a stumbling. The world threw a stumbling block in front of my feet. That's why I messed up. It's not who I am. Man is not required to cover up and conceal the bad years, the years of sin. Rather, he has the capacity to sanctify and purify them. Do we not pray to God, pardon our iniquities on this Day of Atonement, blot out and remove our transgressions and sins from thy sight? As it is said, it is I who blot out the transgressions for my sake. I will remember your sins no more. Yes, that's part of the story. We thus begin with a prayer for annihilating evil, for blotting out iniquities and remembering them no more. But further on, as we continue to daven on Yom Kippur, and we start to realize, you know what, life is complicated. And even averos have a place in some crazy way. Somehow it has to all fit in. And if I learn from it, in fact, it'll have become a mitzvah in a certain sense. We thus begin with a prayer for annihilating evil, for blotting out iniquities and remembering them no more. But further on, a second idea is expressed in this very same tefillah. The idea that repentance in which sin is annihilated is not enough. And it is said, for the virtue of this very day shall acquit you of sin to cleanse you. Before Hashem, you shall be cleansed. Lifnei Hashem titaru. That is uplifting and exalting the Avera. By means of tshuva, one can rise and at the same time raise evil. And as you raise yourself up, you're lifting up your averos to such heights that it may even together with the incense, with that foul-smelling cheldana, chayav lomar bishvili nivra ha'olam, to try again. With that foul-smelling incense that enters into the Kodesh Kedashim with the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. I want to just conclude with the following insight. Man is made up of so many things. We think about these 10 days, from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur. Adam was created on Rosh Hashanah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when He created man, He said, Na'aseh Adam, let us create man. Who is Hashem talking to? Who's the us? Medrash says, if you write us, it can be confusing. Heretics are going to say there's many gods. Na'aseh Adam, let us make man. Who's the us? So some explain that Hashem turned to everything that was created on day 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, everything prior to Adam Rishon, and said, let us make man. Which means that everything in the world is included within man. Man is an unbelievable jungle. Everything. Everything's inside of a person. Lions, tigers, bears. Oh my. Everything's inside. Nasa Adam, let us make man. And yet, out of all that jungle, we could choose, like Reish Lakish chose at one point, to be a thief, to be a robber, to use all that energy to cause so much destruction in the world. Or at the same time, Nasa Adam, I could partner with all those things, and I could say, I'm going to show you how to elevate yourself. I'm going to take every bit of the world, the things that could be used in the most destructive ways, and I'm going to find a way to use them in the way of holiness. And Amir Hashem, as we come to Yom Kippur, we'll have the maturity to understand there's parts of ourselves that, yes, maybe need to be destroyed. There's moments of Amalek. For Salvechik says, try to be a person who understands there's a world called Tshuva Me'ava. There's a possibility of taking Averos, learning from those experiences, elevating those Averos along with the person, and even turning those Averos into mitzvahs. Birtz Hashem, we should be zocha to reach that level of Tshuva Me'ava on this Yom HaKadosh, and every single one of us should be zocha to a Gemar Simatov.